This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey everyone, I'm here, I'm queer, get used to it, just not end those words.
And I died in the house.
It shocked me.
The date of recording is exactly 1 month away from my 25th birthday, the 14th of September.
Then welcome to the Cubby House on the 14th of September 2008. I am here with Cubby and Ryan, and it is exciting to be here.
When did you change your name to Cubby?
I don't know. I always thought it was Cookie.
Oh man, 20 seconds in and I've already stuffed up.
I know, it's fun.
Anyway, this is the Cubby House and we're fresh, we're new, we're in the zone, and I'm using slang that went out of style ages ago.
And you're about to be flagged for it because it's getting cringeworthy. Now, flagging, for those who haven't already heard, is when we nominate unpopular or
bad taste.
Bad taste and too much pop culture in what you're saying.
Which is about 80% of what Jack says.
Don't look at me like that. I can flag you too.
I know.
But we're perfect.
I was told that I can't flirt with Ryan in front of the microphone. And there's like a brick wall that prevents me from doing that.
Hence the reason you're on a high chair today.
I thought it was to make me feel important.
Well, you can take it that way if you like.
Whatever floats your boat, really.
So, what is the Cubby House all about? Are we going to start there?
Well, how about you answer your own question, seeing as you're the one that spurred the ball?
Well, the Cubby House was my idea, but I can't take all the credit because my concept and the finished product are two different things. I had an idea that I wanted a podcast for the bear community, particularly the one that's in Australia, that was short, something that was concise, something that people wanted to listen to, something without, well, a bunch of people just rambling on and on and on. You know,
right now,
you know who you are.
Speaking of which, I'll shut you up right there.
My ego has been deflated.
Don't worry, I think it'll be like a balloon, in and out all day. However,
I think that is a flaggable offence.
Yay, I've been flagged.
What now? I don't have my big roulette of punishments, so...
No, I've actually got them typed up, but we're going to go through that later.
Oh.
Yeah. After the recording. As far as the Cubby House goes for me, I kind of look at it as being something that will be informative. It won't be full of wailing opinions of the latest fantastic show that's on that everybody has to watch because it's so wonderful, but something that's people are going to listen to and say, well, it's kind of like A Current Affair meets Burke's Backyard, and it's something that, you know, it's easy to listen to but informative at the same time. And well, yeah, sorry, Burke's Backyard.
I was going to say, was Burke's Backyard ever easy to listen to?
No, but it wasn't.
Or was it just the whole bear thing? He's got a beard, so therefore...
Yeah, you could probably put it down to that. Just first thing that came onto the top of the head. So,
meanwhile, our listeners that are not within Australia will probably think, what the hell is Burke's Backyard?
Ah, true.
Very true. It's a gardening program, guy called Burke. I can't remember his surname.
Don Burke.
Don Burke, so there you go. Very famous for doing a lot of gardening and home ideas renovation show.
Anyway, going back from that little tangent on Burke's Backyard, I kind of imagined something that was rather unique and something diverse. Although you'd have the chat segments, you'd also once... I envisioned something where some original comedy could be fed through, maybe some Vox Pops... Something that's got variety and interesting, and trying to achieve that is the challenge that we all have. And I am haunted by the fact that we may disappoint.
Here's the point of which we hope not to disappoint, and that is the fact that we'd like to have a lot of listener feedback, which is half the reason why we've gone to the extent of setting up a lot of points of contact.
Yes.
So before we begin any particular topic, we'll start with letting you know how you can get in contact with us in other ways you may not have yet found. And one is through, obviously, our direct website, which is thecubbyhouse.net.au, which we'll be updating with everything that we've been doing, photos, some of the strange and weird and wonderful people and things that we've encountered over the week that we haven't yet put up on the podcast. There's also other points of contact, such as a Skype. If you use Skype through the internet, our username is The Cubby House.
Yes, that's my idea.
I know. With your idea, you've also got us to set up a voicemail, which will be interesting because we'll be listening to what you guys have to say over the week on any topics or anything that you might like to kind of let us know about that we may not have covered. The number to call, if you are in, if you're a local to Melbourne, it's just simply 9005-PLAY.
P-L-A-Y.
Yes, P-L-A-Y.
As compared to the other variant spellings of play, for example.
We don't want to have like a trademarked spelling of play. It's just play. It's simple play.
And you can be as naughty and nice about it as you like. However, if you're calling outside of local Melbourne, the international codes apply, and that is +61 39005-PLAY.
But that's the good thing, because if you're not in Melbourne, you can download the Skype program and you can just add us as a contact, and then can just call us for just whatever the cost of... Actually, I don't think it actually costs all that much to send messages out on Skype.
No, Skype is actually a free voice-to-voice or Skype-to-Skype setup. So, like MSN and Yahoo have their own voice messaging systems, Skype is more designed for voice and audio communication rather than just the text-based type of communication. We also have a Facebook profile, which is quite simply Cubby House, which will be kind of keeping people who are linked on Facebook up to date when podcasts are available or if we're going to certain events, local and otherwise, to Melbourne.
We're hip. We're with it. And the only thing we're missing is Twitter, but I don't really think we want to step into that kind of territory.
I have no idea what it is, so yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that makes two of us. Now you have to explain yourself, Mr. Geek.
Well, Twitter is a kind of like what happens if you were to have Facebook and remove everything except for the status updates, where it's like a little tiny micro blog where you can just post mini posts often as you can. It's the hot thing. It's
for now.
Hot. For now.
For now, and for those who deem it necessary to do so, yes.
Or you could just go on Facebook and do that.
And enjoy your time while you're at it.
Mm.
At any rate, the Cubby House is not a secret society. We're open. We're open to new members. And we want to get everyone in so we can have one kind of virtual group hug. So send us some love to 9005-PLAY if you're locally, or 613-9005-PLAY. We could just keep on rattling out. Just www.thecubbyhouse.net.au. It's just that simple.
And while we're playing, we might as well plug one more, which we couldn't do without, and that is Joy. We're going to, at the moment, we're currently working out of my dungeon studio here in the western suburbs of Melbourne. But towards the end of the year, we're looking to be moving to Joy 94.9's luxurious studios, and we'll be using some of their web space as well. So big thank you to Joy for allowing us to do that and using their equipment.
We love you, Joy. Wait, can I flirt with organizations? Is that allowed?
That would sound like a one on mass orgy, but anyway. So yes, if you want to check them out, it's joy.org.au.
Time to meet your presenters.
Hi, I'm Cookie. I'm single, sexual deviant, and tradesman.
I'm Ryan. I'm 26. I'm sarcastic and actually quite friendly when you get to know me, but a lot of people think I'm a bitch. So either way, you just use whatever you want.
Hi, I'm Jack. I'm 18 and I'm not very good about figuring out things about myself on the spot.
Excellent.
Excellent. Let's move on.
Very diplomatic. So, Mr. Southern Hibernation Applicant 2008.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a very prestigious status.
Well, shall we say Southern Hibernation Nominee for 2008?
That sounds better.
Seeing as you're the youngest, you probably remember a lot better than we could. When did you first come to the realisation of your bear cub status?
Well, I guess the most important thing is that even though I was aware of the bear community, I kind of admired it from the shining distance. I had only turned 18 earlier this year. So even though I kind of admired it from the distance as a shining beacon, it wasn't actually until I got out there that I realized what it's all about, what the people were like. So I'd say that I first looked it up on things like Wikipedia, and it just kept on going on from there, really. I met up with the secretary at a big gay carnival that we have in Melbourne called Midsummer. He kind of said, come along, oh wait, you can't go swimming naked with us. Not for another 2 months. Ooh, shame. Well, at least come when you're old enough. And that's the story. And when I actually arrived there, it's actually a bit of a different story. It's probably disappointing now that I've kind of let us all up, but I went on the lead on my own, contrary to the advice of the Bears and the City Boys, which answered an email to me on the air under the guise of Heathcliff. Hi, guys! Well, anyway, I saw these bearish type people in the smoking garden of the lair, and I was like, hey, are you guys the Vic Bears? And which they said, oh, yeah. And then the secretary and the president spoke to me, and I suddenly got the feeling that I knew more about the organization than they probably did, seeing that I had been spending the last 2 years following all of their actions and looking up all these details going back, which was rather creepy.
Sounds like you're the geek that has to know the ins and outs of a duck's bum before you even approach it, and it's just scary when you come up and say, how do you know so much about me?
I am appalled at that accusation.
You're accusing Jack of being a stalker.
Besides, there's a difference between stalking a non-for-profit organization and stalking a person.
That's just a group of people you're stalking.
It's mass stalking.
Anyway, I kind of went there, everyone seemed friendly, and I liked it. So I filled in the forms, and before I knew it, I was a member. Yay! And I try and go when I can. The one thing that did kind of raise for me was about whether one can really identify as a bear while not having being part of that particular community. I mean, it's a two-way dialogue about self-identity and identity that is put onto a person, which is something that I put a lot of energy into figuring out.
Strange you should say that. My story is of that exact line of dialogue, actually. I came out a lot earlier before I kind of came to the realization I was identified as a cub or a bear. And a lot of people were saying, you're a bear, you're a cub. And I'm thinking, what the hell does that term mean? To me, it just is a label. It's not relevant to, at the time, wanting a relationship or wanting to hook up with someone. And it wasn't until, ironically, this year that I kind of asserted to the identity of being a bear or being a cub as such.
And here you are, being one of the co-hosts on Melbourne's premier bear podcast.
Yeah, it was just an acceptance, I suppose you could say. Like, I never accepted the fact that I was a bear because I couldn't relate to being a bear. But I think a lot of that had to do with the friends who I slowly kind of got to know and relate to, and I think it was just a matter of saying, well, yes, I'm like you, and oh, hang on, yeah, maybe I am a bear. And it was just that slow self-realization and acceptance of it's nothing bad, but it's just more of a better way to label yourself than saying you're a screaming queen, you're a twink, you're... I feared ever being considered a chub, because to me, chub was unhealthy, disgusting, in my opinion. And I just personally couldn't identify with that. Some chubs I look at and I think, yeah, you do look really nice and really sexy, but that's not me. And it just kind of fell into place that a bear is not necessarily thin, muscular, whatever, but it can be chubby, stocky, but not overtly obese, overweight, and fat.
So do you think that while terms like chub or twink tend to have a more derogatory tone to it, the term bear is more of a self-affirmation of self?
From my point of view in life, yes. To me, a twink is merely a description of a body type.
Mm-hmm.
It has some connotation of lifestyle. A lot of those, in my opinion, could be like going out on the scene, very pretentious, very want to stick to their own kind sort of thing, because they don't like anything bar the hairless, very lean look.
Yep.
But having said that, I can say I do know a few people who would be considered twinks and don't conform to that. So it was a label that I think within the gay community has had a lot of influence in saying that's a bad thing, unless you're part of that particular group, click group as it is. And the same with chub. You know, you go to the other opposite end of the scale. It's a body shape. It's a concept of lifestyle that, you know, chubs will go out. They'll eat whatever the hell they like, not necessarily give a damn if it's good for them or not, and just lavish on the luxuries of life, like a lot of people would see the old Roman governors and all that would just sit there and just eat grapes for the whole evening, just not even get up.
I think that a talk about separatism is something that we can cover in a future episode.
For sure. I think there's a lot to be said. When times come that we all have to stand together for a common purpose, such as a law or a point of view that we're all being exiled for, I think we all do. But when you then step back and talk amongst yourselves, I think we all have our own points of view, and that kind of segregates us even further, which, sad as it is, but it is true. And I'd like to think that in years to come, that wouldn't necessarily be so much of an issue as it is today.
While we were doing the production meetings, one of the things that you spoke to me about, Cookie, was actually talking about the diversity that is present in groups that have been previously been considered only a single body. That's something that I'm interested in covering.
Hmm.
I think we are yet to hear from Ryan about his story.
Who? I think I didn't even know he was in the room.
I'm so sorry. I haven't had much sleep, guys. Thanks to my lovely housemates who kept me awake with their squeaking bloody mattress. Thank you, Joe and Dan.
We know what to do with them, don't we? Needles in the bed.
Oh, well, I was thinking of just changing the locks, but okay, why not?
Well, you know what the phrase is. If you can't beat them, join them.
No, I just wanted to sleep. But yeah. So I was quite happy to join them in bed.
Or if you can't join them, beat them.
That was probably more appropriate at 4 o'clock in the morning, yes.
Boom, boom.
Mm.
That's all right. I feel your pain to some degree. I was up until 2:33 myself.
Probably for different reasons.
Yeah. Suffering from lack thereof.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't getting any either, but I just didn't feel the need that I had to have a ringside seat to it as well. But that's just me, you know. If I want to do that stuff, I have porn. I have the internet. Thank you, XTube. It's all good.
What about you? Cub status. When did it ever occur in your mind?
Well, for me, it was first a realization that I was actually interested in bears and cubs before I sort of became one myself, because I was a twink before I was a cub.
Stop the presses.
I know, my God. And so I was thin, and I had, you know, blonde highlights and everything. And but I was interested in older hairy guys. But the thing that sort of got me was I went to Vic Bears once, and I spoke to people there and everything. But I was pretty much ignored, and I think that might just have something to do with it. It's very rare that you find bears that are actually interested in twinks, perhaps. In America, I know it's quite popular, but here in Australia, it's more sort of incestuous. I guess just a lack of actual exercise and everything just contributed to my weight gain, job, whatnot, and laziness to my beard. And hey, presto, just add water, instant cub. So here I am.
Funnily, I think, I don't know about you, Jack, but probably because you're still at that age that I would have considered doing, I actually did this myself, but I think when we come out of that phase that, okay, we're adults, we can go to pubs and all that sort of stuff now, we want to be that attention-seeking kind of person, because you put highlights in your hair, so did I. I was always, in those first few years, I wanted to people to know I'm out there, I'm here, come and get me sort of actions in how I approach the scene.
I guess so, but I mean, I'm incredibly vain, and I don't mean to be, I just am. It's just one of those situations where if I'm, like for example, if I'm in a public bathroom, I'm not looking around for trade. I'm checking myself in the mirror to make sure that my hair's in place still.
It's all good, darling. Don't
worry. You said darling. I think that's a flaggable offence.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been trying to keep my fresh meat syndrome going on 6 months now or so. Can a person do that?
What's that?
Fresh meat syndrome.
As in, try to stay the new kid on the block kind of thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist.
Maybe
of it.
We'll have to get you some Tupperware. Or
someone fresh
mummification
on the scene that one can pounce upon and just devour. That's nice and pristine and fresh.
Well, I was actually having a discussion with a friend of mine, and I was saying that I rarely go out on the scene. I mean, I go out on the scene weekly, but it's always in the middle of the week. So it's very rare that you'll see me out of a weekend. So every time I go out, it's like I'm fresh meat all over again. So maybe you could just do that. Just hardly ever go out, and everyone will be like, oh, who's that cute redhead? And then a month later, oh, who's that cute redhead? And
thank you, Ryan.
All right, let's backtrack a little bit further, if that's the case. And, well, we've come to the point of saying we're cubs, but
yes,
being cubs is a step beyond saying you're gay.
Hmm.
So how then would you say that you came to terms with knowing that you're gay?
Are you referring that to me, Cookie?
I'm looking in your general direction, but it could be Ryan who wants to start this one rolling.
Oh, okay. We can work backwards. Why not? With older. Great, thanks. Start off with a pensioner. Okay. Well, back in my day...
You're the hottest pensioner I know.
You just want to get your hands on my pensioner card. Okay.
Here, as I was thinking, it was the third walking stick.
Boo. Continue.
I came to the realization that I was gay when I was about 15 years old. And it took me a while to realize, because I was pretty much a late bloomer. Everybody else in high school was interested in girls and sex and everything. And I just wanted to read Goosebumps and play my Game Boy and just live an ignorant life. And then I had a girlfriend in high school. And every time we kissed, it was just so uncomfortable. And I'm incredibly naive. It takes me a while for me to put two and two together. So I kind of realized that, hey, if I'm not interested in girls, maybe I'm interested in guys. And so I went out with a guy, and I haven't looked back since. I was incredibly fortunate in the sense that I have gay relatives. So it wasn't sort of a case of like, oh my God, you're gay. It's like, oh God, another one. Probably, and here we go into embarrassing stories, talking about how I came out. I came out to my mother purely for the fact that she asked me, and I said yes. So, ta-da. However, with my father, a completely different story. I was dating a guy, and he and I went out to the Peel all night.
How old were you at the time?
I was about 18. Of course, legal. So, came home.
When did
home.
That ever stop someone?
Came home that night at 8 o'clock in the morning. And he and I were quite amorous, and so we started shagging in the car. And this was when he went to drop me off at my parents' house. So here we are, you know, driveway, shagging. Dad comes out to grab the morning paper and sees his son being shagged by a guy. And I just went inside and everything was fine. I had no idea. A week later, we were having a garage sale. My boyfriend at the time rocked up. And I said, oh, well, I'm going now, Mum. Is there anything else that you need me to do? He's like, no, that's fine. But I'd watch, you know, your father around your boyfriend if I were you, because he caught you two in the car last week. And I died in the ass. That was probably the most embarrassing moment I've ever had. And probably what made it worse was, in the same breath, she asked me if I could go ask my father if he could break a 20. So that was my coming out story.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I mean, it's really good. I mean, every time I've ever brought home a bloke to meet my parents, it's kind of the opposite. Dad's been really, really friendly and been like, you know, oh yeah, you're one of the family, you're cool, we like you. And because I'm the baby of the family, Mum's all very protective and everything. So I feel quite sad talking about my mother on a podcast.
That's fine. It's going to be about as bad as me saying that I helped build my sling stand with my old man. Who knew that I actually could do such a thing? And yes, he knows exactly what it is for. I haven't had to shave the details of what I've built it for. And it's currently standing in my dining room, and they walk in on a weekly basis.
What a bonding moment. What a Kodak moment.
I'm positive they just needed more father-son activities to do. And when you've gone to the roller skating rink for the 100th time, and you're bored of going swimming and swimming and... I said swimming twice.
Yes.
But you're a big boy now, Cookie. And it's about time you started talking with adult things with your parents. And start doing adult things.
Yes.
I think building a sling is pretty adult. I can't imagine they have like Barbie sling or anything, like, you know. Or maybe build your own sling by Milton Bradley for ages 8 to 12 or something, perhaps.
Yes, but our culture's taboo-ness... Taboo is not a verb or an adjective.
It is now.
is something that's an element of our culture, yet not necessarily something that's innate in culture, if you know what I mean.
Yes, well, you think a sling isn't the worst thing that I've had to deal with my parents.
Oh, boy.
No, it all started being the usual horny little teenager that most guys were around my era. I used to collect porn. Just, you know, photos on the internet that you kind of sneak in here and there. And every now and again, my father would find it, delete it, give me the talk. You know, don't do it. It's not right. Rah, rah, rah. That's fine. Well, one day, my brother, who was still quite young at that stage, hadn't had the birds and the bees talk. He stumbled upon the porn, which over the period of time has gone from just the girls, very heterosexual looking, to the couples, to the bisexual, to the gay kind of flow on effect. It was just strange that they'd finally once again stumbled upon this porn collection, and it's all guys. And ooh, he's pulled me aside to do the usual, shouldn't be doing this, and it's the please explain. About 17 I was at this stage, and thank God for health and human development classes that taught us that, you know, homosexuality is a phase. Only some of us never leave it. And willingly. Some not so willingly. I kind of said at that stage, look, I don't know. It could be this period of things that all teenagers supposedly go through. Got talking to some guys on the internet and eventually came out to myself and turned around 3 months later to my old man and said, look, no, it is not just a phase, it is the real deal. It took him about a year and a half to kind of get through his own mental process of, it is okay, I'm still his son. Being the fourth son, a firstborn fourth son of the line, it kind of was a bit disappointing for him. No grandkids. However, having said that, Mum only had to take a month or so when she was fine with it, because her best mate apparently knew 4 years before any of us that I was gay, so... It was just one of the most wonderful things, having a fag hag who's like, you know, 30 years older than you are, who I'm yet to actually take out to a club. anybody got any ideas where to go? That was probably the family side of things. As far as my own coming out experiences, for the next year and a half, when I'd go out, I'd probably go with mates. And one of the most distinctive ones is I was in the back seat to a guy and his partner, and it was just something very subtle. The driver put his hand on his boyfriend's lap. Very subtle. And I picked up on it. It shocked me in a strange way. It's like, I know that's showing affection, but is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And it took me a good year and a half to kind of get over all those shocks of, you know, what it actually means to be gay and all that sort of stuff. And I don't think there's a lot of things that could shock me now as far as sexuality goes.
I can't imagine you as a prude, but God, you've made up for it since.
I know. Like you've kind of mentioned in the past when, you know, I was never really into watching all the guys and sports. These days, yeah, I'll happily watch.
But or participate. Not in the sports, but...
Oh, yes.
The locker rooms, maybe.
Oh, the locker rooms would be my one of my dreams. Hello, guys. Care to line up? No, but it's just, you know, it's taken me a long time to kind of come to terms with it myself. It's not so much I haven't accepted it. It's just taken it a while to get through my head that what's norm, what's not, and processing a lot of information and emotion at the same time.
And what about yourself, Jack? Do tell us your coming out story.
Sometimes it's a bit of an embarrassing story. The same time that I was coming to terms, or at least getting these realizations of being gay, it was the same time that I was starting to get more involved with the Uniting Church. So even though they're not a particularly hellfire sect of Christianity, you do have that gnawing feeling. And for most of my mid-teenage years, it's working out that negotiation between service to God and self, which is something that I've solved by taking a more holistic view to religion and seeing and consider them all basically, well, wrong. But
all right, just before you go on, just quickly, would you consider them wrong, or would you consider them a basis of ethical standards but not necessarily intact in one particular religion or another? They're a foundation for an ethical view of the world rather than a diminutive view.
Well, Mahatma Gandhi said that no religion has the monopoly on truth. And I think that spirituality is more of a personal quest to try and find the answers to than of a structured organization. So I tend to take a more holistic, a more existentialist view towards things and say, I am here, this is what's around me, this is what we have so far, what can I make of my existence here today?
Fair enough. I actually admire that kind of point of view, so yeah.
So anyway, I think the most notable thing about it is that I was starting to rent out the What's Happening to My Body kind of themed books because of the diagrams that were in it.
Oh, how cute.
Cartoon porn.
Oh, I actually first saw the movie they brought out of the first book. And it was a sit-down, you know, mum, dad, nana, or pop. And I don't know if my brother was around, but I was basically rugged up in my sleeping bag watching the movie. I can't remember, but I probably would have got a stiffy once or twice.
Well, I think that's pretty normal. They probably made it to be like that. But, yeah, What's Happening to Your Body, book for boys. When you're 13, that's pretty hot stuff. If you're 18, no, it's not. It's wrong. No, no. It kind of went on from there as you, from actually looking up on things online. I was outwardly a dutiful student staying behind in the computer labs after school. Now, I was doing something quite different. I had a bit of a curiosity at the moment, and I remember one of the particular search terms that I used was, quote, world's largest penis, unquote.
Ooh.
Well, we're constantly still using that right now.
But there's not actually an awful lot on Google last time that I checked.
We'll have to have a link on our website, perhaps, maybe.
But
I just have a picture of George Bush or something.
Boom, boom. So anyway, during this time, I was kind of noticing men's particular facial features. One of the more prominent features that are more outwardly visible, yet I find quite a turn on, is body hair. So that probably leads into the going into the bear community kind of thing. So anyway, skipping on to a couple of years in the future, I must have been about 15-ish. I was doing a report at school in English about homosexuality and how it's compatible / incompatible with the Bible. And I thought that I had it all worked out. Meh. I was speaking to it with my mother over breakfast, and it's like, what, are you gay? And I bit the bullet and went, yeah. And she, like, all the colour had raced out of her face, the disappointment creeping in, and she wouldn't believe me for about the first five times. It's like, really? Yes. Really? Yes, you're shitting me, right? No, I'm not. I'm really. Right? Really? At which point my brother thought this was completely hilarious. He thought I was taking the piss. At one point, before I decided to just leave and go to school because I had to go to school, my mum wanted me to swear to prove that I wasn't lying to her and swear in the Bible that I wasn't gay. Now, I was the one that was the religious one in the family. I knew where it all was. They're not even Christians on Christmas and Easter. So all my brother could find was like the Oxford Giant Book of Trivia. At which point my brother wanted me to swear on the Oxford Book of Trivia that I wasn't gay, which is something that I simply wasn't prepared to do.
Yet I could see you doing it right now, Mr. Big Geek.
Hey.
We love you for it. We love you for it. Who's going to come up with some of the weird and strange and complex words that not even we can string together in such a tangent and interesting sentence?
Or just belt out useless information that nobody has any use for, but it's still interesting to know.
Further on.
It's funny because it's true.
I think it was around about, I don't know, 2004 that I made made a New Year's resolution to come out to everyone, be honest with everyone, which I did, which in retrospect I considered a rather cowardly thing to do. I came out on MSN because it's a very impersonal way of doing things. Because they can't slap you in the face if something goes wrong. They can't go, ooh. They can't do anything except go, oh, okay.
Now they can just spam you to hell.
But generally they were fine. I had very cool friends. They were very nice people. And they still are. Well, most of them. But that's a completely different story altogether.
Who, what?
Bear?
Having deviated from a whole heap of topics, now that we've actually said who we are and what we are, how about we actually get on to why we're here on PAR? And that is particular events that in Melbourne, a lot of guys don't necessarily know of, about, or where they're happening, what's happening, or if even will be there. So, shall we start in saying, for those that don't know, currently, mid-September, Melbourne Leather Festival is running. There are a lot of events that are on and about.
Cookie will be even modelling.
Mm. He'll also be taking applications for partners.
But it'll just throw them all out.
No, there'll be partners for use of my sling.
I can imagine some sort of reality show with that, where you're giving people dildos or something instead of roses.
Strangely, there actually was a porn made up called The Show.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. It was like
I shouldn't be surprised.
A Big Brother thing. It had Mathis von Fisberg, I think, was the
Anastasia Beaverhausen.
I know. But yeah, he was like the big prize that, you know.
And why? Was he like a real piggy bottom or a very well hung top?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but yeah, I've seen some of the movies he's done, and I'd marry him in a second. Yummy. He's one of those muscle bears that could take two hands.
You're not the marrying type.
Christ almighty.
I know. It's like, hello. I'll have him in my collection any day.
I could not imagine taking two. I can't even imagine taking half a hand, let alone two. My God.
He's your
we'll
hero.
Leave that for another discussion.
Bear events.
I give it two thumbs up.
Boom, boom.
Yes, now, bear events as far as Vic Bears runs.
Yes.
What is coming up?
Well, every month we have a bear day out and a general meeting. And by general meeting, just a general meetup. But also coming up in the coming months, there'll be Now and Then, which is a semi-regular event. There'll be...
Bear Nation, I think, is run on the 18th of October.
Grampians coming up soon.
Yes. Which is on Melbourne Cup weekend, I believe.
I'm going to get myself a little bit of Grampians action up there.
Yes, as I will I. Well, I don't know if you and I are talking about the same sort of Grampians action. I'm just quite happy to sit there and play board games by the fire, whereas you might be sort of reenacting Picnic at Hanging Rock or something.
Board games is in like strip poker and nude twister.
Well, if anybody knows who I am an absolute Cluedo addict. I have several different versions of the game, so I challenge anybody out there to a game.
It was Colonel Mustard in the library with a wrench, and God, did it feel good.
With a wrench? Ooh.
He got you in the parlor with a he got you in the parlor with a candlestick.
Yeah, candlestick ribbed for his pleasure.
So we'll be covering some of these events, and hopefully not in the detail that Ryan and Cookie are trying to make out.
So as far as the ones we're going to be going to, I know, Jack, you and I are going to be going to the Melbourne Leather Festival Expo, which will be at the Fitzroy Gardens, the Fitzroy Town Hall, on Saturday. Today's Sunday the 14th, so next Saturday, whatever that day ends up being.
And as the person who self-elected as the most naive person of the three, I think what I come up with as my first fetishy festival could be quite exciting, so listen out for that one.
Considering you're going to be taking photos of me in fetish gear for Eagle Leather. Yeah, that'll be fun.
I'll be doing other things. You're not the boss of me.
Yet.
Yes. Wait till I go get me harness on. I'll be bossing anybody and everybody around that's in earshot, so don't you worry.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes. Well, I personally will be attending every bear day out. I may be possibly late because I do work weekends. And I also will be trying to attend every den night. If anybody's looking for particular dates, please check out the websites for the Laird and Circuit. Also, Vic Bear's website. They will definitely have all the dates for all and times and locations of where everything is on. And of course, the most important annual event, which Jack knows all about, which is Southern Hibernation, which unfortunately is already passed for this
that's
year.
That's almost a year away, so don't worry about that one.
Now, I do know this Wednesday, which is an event I now can't go to because I'm now working that night.
Scheist.
Underbear Party.
How can we forget that?
Now, I know you normally go out on a Wednesday night. Jack, Ryan, will you be there?
No. To all the people out there, if you're ever bored of a Wednesday night, you'll usually find me at the Circuit or the Laird, provided I'm not working in the evening. But unfortunately, I will not be at the Underbear Party.
Damn.
I do not wear underwear, so that
ooh!
So that would be kind of awkward if I just rocked up naked.
Awkward for you.
Yeah, for you. I dare say you'd be dragged up, if it was at Circuit, you'd be dragged up to the next floor quite quickly.
Yes, to put clothes on, possibly, but I don't know, that's just me.
Well, you've got to believe in yourself.
There is a sling up there, I'm sure somebody would put you to bed.
So I guess I'll be doing the Underbear Party myself.
Damn you!
Yay for Endeavour!
Damn you! Want to go.
Can't you just do a shift swap or something?
No, well, this is a shift swap.
Oh,
I swapped it to this shift and then I found out it was on this weekend, so not to worry. If somebody gets stuck in a lift, do me a favour and drop your DAX for me for when I come and let you out.
Or just hit the emergency stop button if you just want. Just holler for a cookie.
That is Wednesday and Wednesday night only. Be warned.
There are lots of ways to get into contact with the boys of the Cubby House podcast.
That's right. The first and foremost is our website at thecubbyhouse.net. There is also...
.net.au.
Thank you for correction. .net.au. There is also the Skype.
Yippee! That's 9005PLAY. That's if you're locally. Or just add the Cubby House, one word, onto Skype, and you can call us for free and leave a voicemail.
And if you're particularly shy and you just want to speak to one of us, you can always just send us an individual email at either Cookie or Jack or Ryan at thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Yes.
Details on the website.
That's right.
Exactly.
And if you are...
I'm the hot one, by the way.
You are you? I haven't got an exact photo.
Just throw that in.
Yeah, I haven't got a photo to prove it just yet.
We'll let the listeners be the judge of that.
Oh, I think so.
Maybe that could be our first thing. We can have, like, who do you think is the hottest member of the Cubby House?
That could drive a wedge in us.
Well, not me, personally. No. I couldn't give a rat's rectum, but...
Well, considering you're the fan of all the reality TVs, I think we might just leave it. Just as torment for you.
It's not like we're voting somebody out or anything.
Oh, I'm sure you'd love to. Just for the sheer, just for the sheer sake of seeing it happen.
Love then, you guys. I wouldn't want to vote you out.
All right, would you vote somebody into bed?
Oh, God, if only. If it were that simple, Christ, I'd be on Big Brother every night.
No worries. Well, the other one is if you are on Facebook, just add the add Cubby House as a friend. So, from this week's podcast, see you later from Cookie.
Have a nice week from Jack.
And sayonara from Ryan.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.